Good morning to all of you. It's such a beautiful day. Even after a snowy night, we have beautiful sunshine this morning. You're listening to Heart of Mind Radio, and this is the Progressive Radio Network. My name is Catherine Davis, and I'm very happy to be with you this morning. And I'm actually going to share with you an interview that I had with Araceli Brown. Araceli Brown is the program director for the New York Open Center. And I was actually there at the Open Center last evening. I was doing a presentation. And in our interview, we're going to be speaking about this ongoing presentation. But it's also an opportunity to begin to look at where we are in our lives and how it is that we are processing the challenges of our life. And so I enjoy this conversation immensely because we go really into a bit of our personal lives and how we have gone about translating challenges into opportunities in some cases, or healing in other cases, and really looking at how we negotiate our world and how we can learn to process things in a way that's going to enhance ourselves, enhance our ability to live a productive, constructive, and most importantly, a really joyful and happy life. And I'm really discovering in these first days of the new year that there are so many opportunities for us to go deeper into ourselves and begin to open very clear communication with our quantum self, to be able to have very specific guidance and upliftment so that we don't need to really be controlled and led by the nose, by the energies that swirl around us. If we pay all of our attention to politics or to whatever drama we might have incurred over the holidays, that we don't have to stay in that place. I certainly always find the holidays to be just a little bit of a challenge. I have a tendency to be more of a contemplative person. So when I engage with a lot of family and you see the arguments and occasionally little petty things come up and arguments come up and disagreements come up and all the natural things we have in life. But on the holidays, it seems to be just a little bit more concentrated. And I found that following that, as much as I enjoyed and benefited and felt enriched by contact with my family in those circumstances, I came with the realization that it might be better to spread it out, take it in smaller doses throughout the year, but also in order to let go and to release that energy, I was able to draw upon some of the spiritual practices to bring myself into a more balanced state and make it possible to just go on with a joyful life. And that's really what we want. We want to be joyful in our every moment and not be consumed by the compassion we might feel for people around the world or consumed by our concerns and worries about politics. And sometimes it's very important to focus like a laser inside the self to be able to restore, to heal, and bring to balance. So I want to invite you to listen to this interview with Araceli Brown. It was recorded on another program, actually on WBAI, a program called Health Action, which is on that, those airwaves. But this is such a joyful interview. I wanted to share it with you because it also speaks about an ongoing program that I am sharing at the New York Open Center. So let's listen, and I'll be back at the end of the interview to give you a little more information.
Today we're going to be speaking with Araceli Brown, the program director for the New York Open Center, and we're going to be talking about some of the work that I have been doing and I'm prepared to do here in the city, as well as other events and other things that you can engage with here in connection with the New York Open Center. So I want to say, just let's start out by saying hello, Araceli.
I have a lot of new programs that are fantastic. Had a lot of great people in 2016, though 2016, I have to say, has been quite a trying year for all of us.
Hasn't it been?
Oh, my God.
I'm really not sorry to see 2016 pass into
no
the
one is.
Ethers.
Just let it go away.
Yeah,
quietly.
That's the best
yes.
medicine, I think, and
yeah.
then to start fresh and
exactly
regroup,
no, I mean,
heal.
Well, exactly. The word heal is a big one here. And in 2017, I want to see brightness and stars and hope and everything for everyone to come true as, you know, our best dreams.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think in a long time now, I felt like the energy even of the city has been down for so long. But we have to keep our minds on the best and highest hope, because it's very easy to get bogged down and forget that that hope is what keeps the good stuff coming in. We can't shut the doors down.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you shut down energy. And energy, of course, is what we're going to be talking about.
Yes,
regarding
indeed.
You.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I also agree that it's twofold. On the one hand, we want to make sure that we are in alignment with our highest vibration,
mm-hmm.
because not only does it keep us from being bogged down, it also helps us to create the environment in which we're living and creating and working.
Well, yeah.
So it gives us a little bit of an edge if we can keep ourselves uplifted and centered, so that as we move through the world, the challenges, it won't be so difficult to move through.
I mean, it is that whole law of attraction, which can be a little bit, what's the word, hackneyed or just corny,
mm-hmm.
after a while. But actually, that is how you keep your doors open. Even I was talking to family the other day, I say, you know, clutter, you clutter up your doorway, even just opening up halfway, the feng shui people, everybody says it. It's energetically, we are all bound to energy, even in Latin curanderismo, which is folk healing in the mm-hmm. Spanish world. Everything has to do with the way that we behave, and how we behave every minute of the day is how our harmony is produced and how attractive our prospects are throughout the day, because spirit is looking to make that connection with us every day. But the minute
every moment,
yeah. And every time we don't, by our actions throughout the day, they get shut out. And we think, why is this not working out? Why is this and that? And a lot of the time, that's what it has to do with our own doing. We're just unaware.
Yeah, and it happens in a really subtle expression. So if you're given to worrying, it's not that necessarily you're a negative person or you're doing bad things. And but if you're worrying and you're fearful, then that's the energy that permeates your auric field. And that's the energy that people feel first. So you know how it is that you sort of get something from a person when you first meet them?
Yeah.
They say first impressions
yeah.
or whatever. But very often, if you're worrying and you're stressful and you're fearful of something, that's the whiff of energy that a person will first experience of you. And that can taint, you know, it can color the experience. They won't have a sense of the fullness of who you are because you're not living that fullness.
Well, I mean, I can give you an example just in my current existence, and that is I have a very ill father right now, and we're all worried, and my mother is extremely worried. And I say to her, you can't go there all the time because we want the best for him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how those energies are going to start to come in. We can't block them out. And it sounds hokey, but it actually does work. And I was listening to a 12-year-old child the other day that mm-hmm. they were interviewing, and he was very ill. He was in the hospital and all these things. And he said, well, you know, he says, I think that the way that we were thinking, the positivity that we were thinking, actually, he says, I think that that's what got me better faster. And I'm like, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
You're not blocking it by the worry. It's sort of like the worry is the darker side telling you, don't do anything. Mm-hmm. I'm going to keep you down. So it's hard to fight it, but it is keeping the faith.
Yeah.
And that's what we're trying to do, keep the faith. And we have to find all kinds of ways to keep that faith going. Some things work for some people, and sometimes those things don't work for everybody. But you have to keep searching to find out what it is that makes you stay on top, keeps you going forward. It may be somebody who helps you. It may be something unorthodox. It may be something very simple. Mm-hmm. Like maybe you paint and, you know, this is the way that you become exhilarated and invite goodness and success in your life. So it could be anything simple.
It could be singing.
Yeah.
It could be absolutely anything. But the idea is to make a choice.
Make a choice.
Each person can make a choice of, let me at least row this boat. Let me don't just lay anchor and sink. You know, or
not this, that the tsunami comes along. You got to run away before it gets there.
Yeah. Well, I'm not saying we shouldn't move. I'm saying, but yeah, it makes a tremendous difference. And so, yeah, this is true.
Yeah. You know, the reason I came to the show, everyone, is because I want to talk a little bit about Kathy, because Kathy never really talks about herself, really. And no one knows what a gem she is and how much experience she has in energy healing. Kathy, with her lovely soft voice, also has that kind of healing energy touch, even because she is also a great practitioner in the healing arts. And she is a Master Qigong teacher. And a lot of people, Qigong is, if no one or some people may not know what that is. And very simply speaking, if you ever go to Chinatown, you go through the parks or you watch PBS, you'll see like a lot of the elderly folk in groups making these very, very easy moves throughout the morning. And they're all in unison. And you see the arms going in a very, very generous but very slow way. And it looks very small, but it is quite potent work that they're mm-hmm. doing. It's one of the reasons that I think many do last 100 years old, because they are internalizing, I would think, cosmic and universal energies into the body, into your cellular structure. And this is one of the things that Kathy, I think, what is it, more than 30 years?
Just about 30 years that I've been doing this practice and teaching.
This is fantastic. She's the founder of the Kun Li Cheng Qigong School of Applied Healing Arts. Now, quite a mouthful, but you're going to talk a little bit about that, because her intensive study, I mean, she's gone to China, which is not something that everybody's able to do, but she's a very determined person. And over the years, she has developed her technique and taught hundreds of people this work. And she is going to be teaching at the Open Center in January. And I will tell you a little bit about that a little bit later. But first, I want to talk a little bit, something you say here. You say that about the work itself. Healing is between yourself and your creator beingness. You say you bring the tools and open the pathways for transmission of healing, light information that can dissolve blocks and barnacles derived from living, I think, everyday life on Earth. And mm-hmm. you are, with this technique, these Chinese techniques, really, you're able to awaken the wisdom of who the person actually is. So you're actually giving people or providing them with the potential to, and you say, rewrite your DNA structure and transform it from a 3D consciousness and go into something that's more of a 5D awareness or an harmonic existence. explain that to me.
Okay. So if you think of your body at its most basic structure, it is electric in nature. It's mm-hmm. electric. It's magnetic in nature. So we're really very much as above, so within, uh-huh. as outside, so within. When you think in terms of looking at the cosmos, mm-hmm. you'll see the stars, you'll see the comets, you'll see this entire movement of cosmic life.
Right.
Well, we're the same inside of our bodies. When you look down into the cells, you'll see the nucleus of your cell. You go in, you'll get to see the atom, you'll see the positive and negative aspects of our atom and how they interact with each other, and how on an atomic level, once there's an attraction of on the atomic level, we get chemicals. It builds into our cells. But at the basic foundation of our physical structure is this electrical universe. And so the Qigong practice allows us to engage in that part of our body, that part of our DNA where we have the information, and we bring consciousness to that level. So when you're doing Qigong practice, you are connecting with the forces that are without, the earth, the cosmos,
mm-hmm.
bringing that strength into your body as a fortification, but it's coming in with an awareness, a consciousness, so that you begin to connect on the most fundamental structure of your physical body, and you can correct the DNA. So, for instance, if you have a tendency towards a particular disease, if you have a tendency towards a particular kind of ailment, if you have a tendency towards, or if something has manifested in your body, like diabetes or mm-hmm. hypertension, so you begin to heal and change it at the fundamental structure. So you're changing the information that's in the DNA structure, and as that information moves through your body, it moves up through the cellular level, and you're actually healing yourself from the deepest part of your being, pulling that up through your body, through the meridians, and through the meridians into the tissues.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's how the healing takes place. So what we're doing is we're really, it's not like putting medicine in or chemicals in
mm-hmm.
to change the chemistry of the body. We're changing at the transforming it at the level of light, at the level of our fundamental structure of being. And that's where the information is being changed. And that's where the shift is made.
Wow. So basically on a more practical level with disease, you also talk about it restores the calm of your mind. It connects you with your spirit, and it creates a stillness. So in the healing aspect of this, what's happening and what I've experienced as well is that it's not something you necessarily always feel or see, but that it is so internal and so subtle that over time you are not aware of the resiliency that you're building in your life that comes through, and you are connected to the masters that you've worked with.
Mm-hmm.
So they've transferred something that is quite ancient to you.
Yes, it's very true. The Qigong masters that I've studied with follow a very long tradition.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a tradition that comes in several forms. There are family lines, mm-hmm. lineages where they've handed down the information. There are priestly lines where it gets handed down the information. And then there's also the medicinal line where it gets handed down. So if you look at the practice of Qigong at its core in the very beginnings in ancient times, it was a shamanic practice.
Uh-huh.
And out of the shamanic practice came the visioning and the ability to see into the body, to be able to map the energy system to the meridians, to be able to see the acupoints through inner visioning. And so then through practices and learning how all of this works through time is how Chinese traditional medicine was developed. And so the traditional Chinese medicine has different branches to it. So there's the needling, where you can use the needles to work the meridians. Mm-hmm. There's massage as a way of doing it. And then there's the self-healing practices that people are taught. So in early Chinese culture, the name for Qigong would have been translated self-healing method.
Oh, okay.
And then as China began to open up to the West and began sharing Chinese medicine, traditional Chinese medicine, that's actually when the name Qigong became established as the overall name for this self-healing method.
Oh, nice.
And Qigong itself means Qi, which is vital energy, and Gong means the working of or the mastery of vital energy, being able to use vital energy. So the Qigong practice is a self-healing practice primarily, where traditional Chinese medicine is you're working with a practitioner primarily to work with your body.
How do you think it develops with the there are phrases today with mindfulness, because I already think that mindfulness is already established within the practice, that it builds it within you.
It absolutely does. I think probably it's a slightly different culturally than what you would find through the Indian cultivation of the Indian Buddhist systems.
Right.
But the differences are not very great.
Mm-hmm.
So in the Qigong practice, for instance, is a parallel to yoga in the sense that when you look at yoga in its traditional environment in India, it is a mindfulness practice, it's a spiritual practice, it's a physical healing practice. And then when yoga came to America, it tended to drop off the more esoteric part and it became very physical. Qigong, on the other hand, sustains the esoteric part of it in that it is about building a relationship with the essence of who you are. So when we're growing up in the world, we grow up from children building relationships with our parents and with the world. And then we tend to exist and live our lives as if we're totally an external functioning being. You know, we have a name, we have a role, we're male, female, we have careers.
Very disconnected.
So we're all out in the world and don't have an essential relationship with the being that we are. So if you think of yourself doing a meditation or you think of yourself going inward, you could hear your own voice. But then who's hearing it?
Mm.
You can speak, but, you know, what is really speaking? And so that's where you start to go deeper into the essence of who you are, and you can recognize the personality that you have in the world. So I'm still Catherine or Kathy, whatever, and I do what I do in the world, but there's a part of me that's much deeper than that, that is expressing through me as Catherine. And so what happens is when you go into the silence, you become in touch with the essence of who you are, which is that essence that's connected to source, that has a really broad resource in terms of understanding, and also is much more powerful than we are in the physical world. So the essence of who you are is able to recognize what's happening in your body and to change it and correct it. The essence of who you are is able to recognize what's happening in your world and change it and correct it. So as limited individuals with our limited mind, we scheme and try to figure things out and try to decide, well, if I get this degree, I'll get that job, and if I act right in this job, then I'll get a promotion, or adversely, we get upset because, well, this guy is against me and that one is against me. So we get all involved in this drama. But as we move into that quiescence, that internal quiescence, then there's a different kind of guidance and there's a different kind of manifestation in your life. So you could go inward and you would be more likely guided that this is not the right job for you, even if it looks like it is, then you might be guided in a completely different direction, or you'll flow into a level of synchronicity and harmony
and
within
acceptance.
Your life. Yeah, it's like feng shui of the life.
Yeah, it's acceptance, because when mm-hmm. you talk about that, one of the things I like about working with this, I don't know how what even call it, actually, but it is a technique, but it's a very profound work, is that it's when you say that it's changing DNA, it's also changing a form of consciousness as well, because mm-hmm. that is part of the DNA. And as you go throughout life and you've already done this practice, you're going to be hit with a lot of consequences to this, bad news about that, and all of these. Some people fall apart. Some people turn to drugs. Some people don't know what to do. People get desperate.
Mm-hmm.
When this kind of work is part of your DNA or body, it's almost like it's a support system. You weren't aware that's there, and you're going, oh, okay, I know this is pretty bad, but I'm going to, actually, your calmness is already there. You're already thinking, I know what to do, and I know that this isn't right. It's not the words anymore that people tell you, oh, you know, it's all going to be okay.
Yeah.
You don't have to. No, you actually are in it. You feel it.
You and you you have a knowing about it.
Right.
And so what happens is that you begin to live your life as an expression of that deeper part of yourself. And there's a joyfulness to that. There's a calm and a peace to that. And your mental state is just very easy. And the state of your emotions are much more relaxed and much more easy. And it doesn't mean that bad things can't still happen.
No, they will.
So, for instance, you know, people worry about losing a job, right?
Right.
So from my perspective, when you're doing these practices, you just enjoy your life. So you might spend 10 years worrying about losing your job and then lose your job. Or you could spend 10 years being joyful in your life. You lose your job. Oh, well, then you spend another 10 years being joyful in your life. So it's not like these things don't become catastrophic to you.
Even though and then they catastrophic don't. Circumstances, because you may not have the money to lose that job. You may have everything against you, and you know that this is dire. You could end up homeless. But that strength is still there, and because of that, the better things start to come.
They absolutely start to come. And then what happens is it's because that your state of presence is going to be more of an attraction for the interaction. But also it's important to have that deeper connection, because the losing of the job is very easily the thing that's going to bring you into abundance.
Yeah. I had a friend who actually,
you know,
went
through that. So you're thinking that, well, I need to hold on to this. I need to hold on to this. But it's, if you could let it go, you know, there
better.
Might be something much more in store for you. So it's a way of looking at things as with a level of detachment, that it's not, you know, because I think that this is what I need does not necessarily mean that that's what I need. And so what happens when you are in this state of calm, you're living your life that way, every day becomes a little bit more magical.
Mm.
You know, so you're in your meanderings and in your wanderings, you make those vital connections that are going to make a difference for you as you're going forward. Or you make those connections that are going to allow your body to heal. And so it just puts you more in alignment with the part of you that has more wisdom about what your capacities are, and more wisdom about what you need, and has the capacity on that deeper level to magnetize you to what you need. So right now I'm teaching at a in Brooklyn at a studio mm-hmm. Maya.
Right.
I didn't go to Studio Maya to apply for it. I met the owner outside of Starbucks. And so it's one of those things where you don't know, you have to trust a little bit that if you get the inspiration to do something, to follow through on it.
Mm-hmm.
So I had the inspiration to go out there in front of Starbucks. I could easily have said it was nonsense and I'm not going.
Right.
Or I'm too tired. Or any myriad of... I had no idea that this was going to happen. But what happens is that when you get in touch with your inner alignment, it will shift you and put you in the space you need to be to make the connections you need to make
right.
to have the life that you are creating, that you're desiring to create. And the more you can be in that alignment, the more beneficial that will be. And the same thing is true in, with regard to our health,
mm-hmm.
because our health becomes distorted because we're living out of balance with ourselves. So a person who has hypertension, diabetes, has such condition most likely, not always, because they've been ignoring the signs for a very long time.
Yeah.
Ignoring the symptoms for a very long time. But even underneath that, there are most often emotional and psychological causes.
Mm.
So it may be that you are medicating yourself with sugar because of something that happened in your life when you were younger,
right.
or even pre-birth. So there are all these potentials of why things are going on in your life. And when you're flowing and pursuing an energy solution, it allows you to identify these anomalies because it's an energetic anomaly. So when I'm working with a person's body, and I will feel that there's an energetic anomaly,
mm-hmm.
so I may not, I won't immediately assume what it is, but I'll know that it's there. And then it becomes an exploration with the person to discover exactly what it is,
okay.
what's at the root cause of it. And then once we can begin to move into the root cause of it, then we begin to pull it out, like pulling a thread. You know, when you're knitting, you can pull a thread and pull all that work out.
Mm.
Illness is like that. Once you can get an idea of what its cause is, or even just energetically where it is, you can begin to pull it out, and you can begin to heal from something that's ancient that you're holding in your body.
Oh.
And when you're doing Qigong practice, it essentially does the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say you want to, like, you have any number of ailments or fatigue or depression, whatever's going on in your body. As you're doing the Qigong practice, you're reaching to the earth and bringing that fertile energy through.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lot like the energy that goes into the growth of plants and trees.
Mm-hmm.
It derives from the energy of the earth as well as the energy of the sun and the oxygen. So with Qigong, you're becoming much more vitally engaged with the life force of life, of the creative forces. And then you're bringing that energy into your body because it's much more in alignment with the appropriate functioning DNA structure of your own body. And then when you begin to pull that into your own meridians, you begin to move through the blocks that you're holding on to.
What are meridians for?
Meridians are like blood vessels, only they're energetic. So if you look at a chart in a doctor, if you look up Chinese medicine,
mm-hmm.
and you look up the acupuncture chart, you'll see these lines of energy so that the organs each have meridians.
Whoa.
Or vessels, energy vessels, that flow through the legs, the arms, the chest, the back, the face.
Mm-hmm.
And there are different ways to access those vessels and those points. And Qigong primarily is about cleaning out the energy flow within the body. So like with Soren Crane, for instance.
Which is the one that you're teaching.
Yeah. So you might put both arms out with your palms facing outward, fingertips are up, and then you draw back from your shoulder, drawing the chi into your palm, pulling it all the way back to the spine, and then you extend again, releasing the toxicity of the spine. So what it does is it allows you to synchronize your breath, your movements, and your intent to bring clean vibrational energy into your body and to release old stagnant energies within your body. And then there are other parts of the form where you move the chi through your body, through the meridians themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And what that does is it gradually peels away the toxic layer and the toxic blocks that are in your body. And we release it into the earth and then bring fresh chi in. And so the natural world functions harmoniously with the human world. So you could see that in how trees give out oxygen,
right.
and take in carbon dioxide.
Mm-hmm.
You could see it in how the earth can take our poop and make mulch of it and allow that to grow into a plant. So the natural world is very much in harmony with the human world when we are in balance. And so energetically, this is very true. So that when you're working, you know, there are cleansing forms. There's a liver cleanse where you move the toxicity out of your liver and you work directly with a tree. And then you bring that toxicity to the tree, and then the tree takes it into its roots and transmutes it the same way that it will change oxygen, exchange oxygen for carbon dioxide. Yeah. So our natural world works very much in harmony with our physical bodies. And with Qigong is kind of the art of being able to do that and understanding how to make that connection, but also understanding, beginning to understand how to direct the energy through our bodies. And Qigong is really made... it can be very intricate, but it's really designed for the lay person. It's not for a doctor of traditional Chinese medicine necessarily. It's so that, you know, the farmer can do it.
Right.
You know, the person who's a teacher can do it. It's designed as a process for people to stay healthy
in
their
lives. Well, it seems very simple, the movements. They seem very controlled, but they're very, they call it soaring crane that you have. And this is only soaring crane being just one of the teaching.
One of the forms. And it's a beautiful form, soaring crane Qigong. And it's also, it's called Five Routines. And it was created by Zhao Xing Xiang in China. Mm-hmm. And my teacher, Chen Hui Shen, translated all his material.
Ooh.
And brought the form to America. So I feel very blessed that I'm like third in line from the original person of this form. And so, and I have found this was like the first form that I really mastered, and it has many levels. There's level one, which is the traditional practice. Then there's level two, when you go deeper into your understanding of you know, sort of the medicinal part of it. And then level three is where you can become an actual teacher of it because you have that understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And then it has an even higher level, which is goes very much into the spiritual practice. So it's a very expansive practice, but it's all based on this first five routines that gives you the foundation. And from there, you can grow to be a teacher. You can grow to be a healer.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're moving the energy through your body at the level that you never have to draw upon your energy in helping someone, because you could always draw it in from wherever it needs to come.
From a channeling, that people would say,
from a universal source, the energy comes through you, and then you're able to, and this is how I work energetically as well, that I... work with the larger forces of energy when I'm working with people on a one-to-one basis.
What have you seen over the years? And you've been at this, you used to teach at Riverside Church quite a some time ago.
About 18 years I've been, I was teaching there.
Yeah, it's quite a long time. And then, but what have you experienced with students and how they work with us and does for them, as well as for you?
Yeah, well, for me... I feel that it has saved my life on many occasions, because even when I first started doing Qigong, in the first like 3 or 4 years, I was living and working in a very stressful environment, and I had a real breakdown of health at that time. Like there was a shock and a breakdown of health, and I actually went into one of these states where I was having a I would say a stroke, not a massive stroke, but I was outside and my whole systems broke down. My one side of my body broke down. I couldn't move my arm. I couldn't move my leg. So I had to just sit down.
Mm.
And so I was recognizing that I was in a situation where my body was breaking down. But I also had just learned these techniques. So I immediately went into these techniques.
Well, on the street there?
Sitting on the sidewalk. And I was moving the energy through my body and through the meridians and moving it through. And at this point, I couldn't do the form. It was entirely the focus of mind.
Mm-hmm.
And I did these practices, and it took me about I don't know, maybe 15 minutes, 20 minutes,
okay.
And I was able to get up again.
Wow.
And I think it had a lot to do with first sitting, stopping, not pushing through it, you know, just stopping and sitting down. And I had to lower my head to the ground, closer to the ground, so that, you know, I could have an impact on the blood pressure. But there are certain specific forms that allow you to bring the pressure down and move it into the earth so it'll cool. And I was able to use it as an emergency. And this is when I was just first learning.
Well, that's
it.
That's incredible, though.
And that was what really taught me how powerful it was. And so I really invested myself in learning more and more about it. And as I've been teaching it to people, I've been seeing how they benefited. And mostly people benefit. It's accrued over time, but there are basic remedies that you can learn for emergencies. There are specific routines that are designed for specific ailments.
Oh.
So you can find a specific routine for almost every ailment. And then, you know, so if it's the lungs, if it's the liver, it's for kidneys. There are specific routines that you can use to support the healing of those organs or those systems.
Really, like, what about the liver?
Absolutely. There's routines for cleansing and for building of almost every organ of the body that I can be aware
it's like
of.
Five different steps or something.
Yeah, like two or three steps that you would do, and you would want to do them every day if you actually have a condition. But most people are more in that in-between state where there's just a lot of things sort of wrong and nothing is absolutely wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when you have the most power to really restore your health. Because that's when nothing has reached a critical state and you can just start to get the energy flowing and then bring that vitality into your physical body. So we can think of our physical body as being structure and chemicals, but really underlying that is the energetic, the electrical charge to everything that we are. So at the point that the chemical gets distorted and the physical body gets distorted and it's building tumors, that means on an energetic level you've been sick for a very long time.
Yeah.
And then it moves into the physical level and then you've been sick for a very long time before a tumor will develop. And so the medical model, and sometimes in emergency cases, I'm not one to tell people what they should and shouldn't do. So you want to take the medication or the surgery, whatever people choose. But whether you choose it or not, when you come in from the energetic level, it's like draining from the bottom of the drain, even though that's a familiar phrase these days, draining the swamp. But actually, when you do it on an energetic level, and then you can heal the energetic level much quicker. Because you can get the stagnation out and you can bring in the healthy energy. And so that healthy energy is beginning to restore your cells from, this is what I mean by the DNA, because it restores it from the fundamental level, because our cells are replicating and reproducing all the time. So as you're healing the energy, then you begin to reproduce healthy cells. If you don't heal the energy, then you just continue to reproduce toxic cells.
Yeah.
And so it's a way of getting in at that fundamental level to help restore yourself. And this works on the physical level, but also emotional and psychological, because a lot of our physical ailments are tied to our emotional and psychological wounds and problems or structures that have been built in our lives over time.
Mm.
And so you want to be able to be more flexible and malleable on an emotional and psychological level so that you don't hold on to self-blame, so you don't hold on to self-pity, so you don't hold on to self-hatred. And these are the things that are cultivated in us through our societies and through our families. And it's subtle enough sometimes that we don't realize that that is the very thing underlying our illness or our dis-ease is that we've been taught to not honor ourselves. But when you're working through Qigong, how that works in your favor is that it connects you to the real source. It connects you to the real forces of nature, the real forces of creation, which are much more powerful than the programming that we get as children. It's more powerful than the insecurities you may face on the job, because you're connecting with the same power that can motivate the waves of the ocean.
Well, this is
you're connecting with the same power that fuels the wind, and you're connecting with that power that can stir up a tornado.
Wow.
And that same power is what you're directing in your own body, and you may not want to stir up a tornado, but you may want to cycle that energy through the tumor so that the particles of it will disintegrate and be able to be eliminated from your body. So when you bring your awareness to the movement of energy, it becomes a very powerful force. And you can do the same thing in your environment. So if you're connected to this force of energy and you're moving into a toxic environment, then you can shield yourself with that energy.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, so it becomes a very powerful way of living. And once you're in that flow, in that connection, then you begin to have a real respect for who and what you are. Part of the problem we have as human beings is that we don't know what we are as beings. We think that we're these minuscule, powerless people walking around dependent on all these things outside of us to define who we are, when in fact we're forces of nature. And when we can acknowledge...
The forces of nature can do quite a lot.
When we acknowledge that we are forces of nature, then it doesn't matter so much what anybody thinks or says. And then we can, and then when we begin to recognize that we do indeed have the power to heal our own bodies, to help each other heal each other's bodies, to heal our lives, then that is a self-empowering act that allows us to begin to really have a dynamic, creative life.
Wow.
That's powerful and positive and loving. So all of these things flow into it.
Well, so far, what you've described is not only profound, dynamic, it's life-changing, and it seems rather simple, and it can be, because I've seen it, and I know how it's affected your life, and I want to just say that Kathy does have a school. She does all types of formats. For example, she does three-day healing retreats. She does intensive weekends. She does eight-week Qigong study programs. This has been going on for a long time. She is able to work with other types of energy healing techniques, like the Sandlin technique, which we're not going to get into right now because it's a lot of stuff. But I want to talk about just a little bit more about your event at the Open Center, because that event is going to happen between January 12th and February 9th. And that's going to be from 6 to 7:30 in the evening. Those are Thursdays. It's going to be five sessions. That's a weekly course. Just goes directly to the class and sign up, because...
that will fill up also, I think. Because
fantastic.
It's a beautiful form. And I consider it to be the form that is at the core of my own personal development.
Okay.
It's a very powerful form, and once you've learned a form such as this, which is so comprehensive, you can go on to do any form of practice, Qigong practice.
I just want to say she's an extremely highly experienced teacher and really a master in her own right. So it would be a great idea if people came. You're going to have a fantastic time, and don't miss it, because it is going to be one of those things that is going to sell out. Now, you can also go to Kathy's actual website, which is qigongonline.net, which is Qigong NLINE.net. And
so we have some, you have some other fabulous things coming up at the Open Center.
Yeah,
I want to make sure people know about
things.
I'm Catherine Davis in studio with Araceli Brown, Program Director for the New York Open Center.
Fantastic, and glad to be here. I just want to mention a few programs that people might be excited about. We have a program with Eben Alexander. If you remember, a few years ago, he was the neurosurgeon who had a who passed away for a few minutes and then came back and had a near-death experience. And he became quite renowned at the time for this. He's started writing other books about it, but at this time, he is also going to be teaching something quite different, which is meditating with sound. And he is going to be holding a one-day workshop Saturday, January the 21st. Please contact the Open Center. It's going to be a 10 to 5 course. And he is going to be teaching this with Karen Newell, who is the co-founder of the Sacred Acoustics program and company. I also want to mention that we have Lorna Byrne, who is
I love Lorna Byrne.
Lorna's coming back after many years being back in Ireland and Europe. She has written another book called Love from Heaven, and it is about teaching compassion for yourself and for others. She also, it's a program that she's developed. It has about seven steps, which she can actually teach you how to open up the heart. She says, I can actually see the heart in most people, and a lot of times she says there's a belt around it, like an iron belt. She says you need to release that in order to heal your life and to really open up the world for yourself and to
and
others.
How she's known for...
She grew up speaking with angels. She doesn't have a veil to the other side. As a child, she is a very authentic person. She came from rural Ireland. She's dyslexic, actually. She doesn't read or write, but she has many written books now, and they're international. 27 million books, probably 27 different languages. So she is coming in on February the 23rd. It'll be an evening event, and it'll be held at... Marble Collegiate Church on 5th and 29th Street, and also please contact the Open Center. It's going to be a fantastic program.
I would love to talk to her before.
Oh, you will.
Maybe
we can definitely set up an appointment.
I mean, I had a, just so listeners know, I had a private reading with her once. I was graced to have a little reading with her. And she is one of the most humble and authentic people I've ever met in this genre, in this field. She and I went to an event with her, full event at the Cathedral, I think, of St. John the Divine. And she actually hugged every person in that space. It may have taken an hour or so, but she was so attentive to everyone's need. I thought she was, she's an amazing person. And she has to, I believe very authentic.
She's very authentic, very real. And she often, she's had about three near-death experiences where she said, I didn't want to come back. She says, you know, I need to go to the other side. I miss my baby. I miss my husband. She said, but God says to her, you have to go back. You have more work to do. Mm-hmm. She said, well, okay, but they're not. So it's a variety of things like that. Then I have a panel that I want to talk about that's coming up on May 1st with Henry Louis Gates, Soledad O'Brien, and Allison Gilbert. And actually, this was put together by Allison Gilbert, who is a CNN journalist and also has many projects in the works on death and dying. She is one of, Allison Gilbert is one of the experts that they use over there at 9/11 Memorial. And she wrote a book called Past, P-A-S-S-E-D, and Present. And she writes about the importance of people understanding how to keep the memory alive of loved ones that have passed, friends and family, and how to be actually understand that in such a way that it's not a morbid thing, but it's actually a healing thing, and it keeps alive that connection and energy so that it's alive not just for you, but for children coming afterwards. And it's actually, I think, something, it's ritualistic, it's mindfulness, but it's healing to the mind. It's not something that puts people away once they've passed, and, you know, once a year you may remember them. It's a lot more than that. It's deeper, and it's I think it's healing because those also remember people are remembered in a good way, in their funny personality way, however that is. And Henry Louis Gates is coming in because he does hold those the PBS specials on going back to people's DNA line and investigating what was your history like, I don't know, 100 years ago. And he does that for many people. And he did that for Soledad O'Brien, who was also a past CNN journalist. And she will discuss her experience when he gave her that reading, let's say, and how healing it's been for her and how important it is for her children. So we are going to have Alison Gilbert do the book signing for this book, Past and Present. And it'll be held on May 1st at Marble Collegiate Church. And it should be a fantastic event. And it's a very unique event. So you will also see that at the Open Center site at www.opencenter.org. And also you can give a call at 212-219-2527, extension 0. Please look through the website. You'll see fabulous new programs and, you know, tell your friends about it. Also be aware that if you sign up for the membership, you will get savings, $20, $30, $40 or more savings. So it's well worth it. So.
Yeah, because you do have a lot of wonderful programs throughout the year. Yeah. And we're just about out of time. So I want to thank you very much.
Thank you for having me, Kathy.
For being with me today, Araceli, a good friend. And been doing wonderful work at the Open Center for a good long time. Mm-hmm. And actually the person who brought in a lot of the indigenous people, brings in a lot of the indigenous people into the Open Center, and a lot of healers.
Sergio Magana coming.
Oh, is he coming
January.
Back? Oh, I love Sergio.
Sergio Magana from Mexico. He is one of the few people in the world who is an expert on Aztec healing of the ancient type that not even people of Mexico know about.
That's wonderful. So be sure to look up from the Open Center, Sergio Magana.
Sergio Magana. You'll have a weekend workshop. You'll have a Friday night. And also the last person will be Paloma Cervantes, a Mexican healer who's coming in from California. And she will also be doing how to heal. You'll look it up on.
So there's a lot going on there. So everyone stay tuned. And if you have a mind to, I look forward to seeing you starting next week for the Soaring Crane Qigong at the New York Open Center. And you can always go to my website for more info, qigongonline.net, QIGONGONLINE.net.
Well, and that's the end of our interview for today, and we're certainly out of time. I want to thank you for joining us. Invite you to check out the website, opencenter.org. and qigongonline.net. This is Catherine for Heart of Mind Radio. Stay tuned for more great programming over the Progressive Radio Network, and I look forward to being with you next Friday morning at 10 a.m. Take good care.